Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we geek out with beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today, Tim and Frank are drinking Samuel Adams Porch Rocker.
Porch Rocker. It's finally time for Porch Rocker.
It is finally time. There's leaves on the trees, and by leaves I mean buds.
And, well, close enough.
Close enough.
I mean, it is almost that time of year. It is. There's green. It's time for Porch Rocker. Pretty soon it'll be time for Sam's Summer Ale.
I can't. Well, actually, you can get Sam.
You can. I did see it today at the liquor store. I did.
Yeah.
But Porch Rocker is my personal favorite.
I saw the whole thing.
Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw it at the store today, and I love Porch Rocker, and they only put it out in six packs for like a brief window at the beginning of the summer, really in the spring, and then after that you can only get it in like the Sam like summer variety pack,
right?
The 12 pack. So I got 2 6 packs just to hold me over for a while.
Yeah. No, we're gonna drink all of them right now.
Well, one night of Beer with Geeks is pretty much a 6 pack right there.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
How are you today, my friend?
I'm very good.
Are you very good?
Yeah,
good.
I had a nice little walk around town
while
we were waiting to record, and
that's good stuff.
Yeah, I got my step count in, and you know, saw some statues, saw some buds on the trees, to be specific.
Oh, not the kind you drink.
Nope.
Didn't see any
of those outside.
Good. That's illegal.
There are laws against that.
That's illegal here.
Did see a lot of paper bags.
Wait a second.
Methinks maybe something there.
Maybe. So, have you seen that
I've
Batman?
Seen all of it.
Oh,
yeah. Why or what?
Batman Superman trailer.
Yes,
have you seen it?
All of it.
Okay,
yes,
because it came out. It came out a while ago now. So I would hope you've seen it by now.
Yeah, I've seen it more times than I'm.
Yeah, me too.
I'm ready to admit.
I've seen it a bunch.
Yeah.
Do you feel like superhero movies are getting dark for the sake of being dark? This is a conversation people have a lot, right? And do you feel like we're starting to go down this path of like when DC or Warner Brothers feels like they have to make their superhero movies dark because like, well, Dark Knight movies were a success and Green Lantern bombed, so
there you go.
So we got to do this.
Right. Well, from a business standpoint, yeah, that's what it totally looks like.
Yeah.
And even Marvel's movies are getting darker. I mean,
yes, they are.
I mean, if you look at Avengers versus Age of Ultron, you look at Captain America First Avenger versus Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Iron Man's one, two, and three. Thor 1 and 2. I mean, they are subtly moving in that direction, though. There's still a very heavy beat of comedy.
Yeah.
Visible.
Yeah.
DC has to make theirs different.
Do they?
I think they feel that they have to because the Dark Knight trilogy made them billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And those movies were dark. And so all movies thus must be dark. And that's not just superhero movies though.
Okay.
Look at
that's true. This is just a trend across the board.
It's a trend across gritty realism, hyper realism, whatever you want to call it. It's gritty origin stories and this and this and this and this. And there certainly is a place for all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Daredevil on Netflix, and that's gritty as.
That's true. That's as gritty as can be.
We usually don't say on this podcast,
right?
But
fudge.
Fudge. It's gritty as fudge. Ugh. Gritty fudge. That'd be awful. Terrible fudge.
Yeah.
I like my fudge smooth. Thanks very much. So
smooth like Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams. But Billy okay, but that's even a point. Like if you could look at even look at the new Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
It's kind of gritty.
Yes, it is. That's true. But I would argue that there is some precedent for that in universe already. It fits the story.
That we don't know anything about. So how can you make that precedent?
Well, because there's Sith in Star Wars, and there's already some gritty evil bad guys that are pretty bad. Like
okay.
You already have that in. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is pretty gritty.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Okay, but
Mustafar is pretty gritty. Like, there's already precedent for that in this saga. Like, yeah, we haven't seen this movie yet. We haven't seen this new set of films yet, but we've seen this universe before.
Okay, so right
in this
there,
continuity.
Okay, so right there.
Yeah.
All right. So you like there's precedent for it.
Yes.
But you're saying based off of Man of Steel or the Dark Knight trilogy or anything like there isn't precedent for gritty.
There's precedent for gritty in the DC film universe. I just don't think that it's the best choice for a Superman movie or for a Justice League, you know, launching point movie.
Okay.
I just don't think that it fits. I don't think that it's – I don't feel like – and I felt this way about Man of Steel too. I don't think that it needs to be gritty to be good. I feel like it's – we've gone from the point of like, okay, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises were gritty because Batman is a dark character. And he can be done campy, right? We've seen Adam West.
He doesn't have to be,
but he can be. It fits that character to be gritty.
Right, but okay, so but whereas Batman is arguably a little bit more flexible as a character that way, where you can take him from the extreme ends of camp to gritty
or hunter camp,
our dear friend.
Hi, Hunter.
You could take him from those two extremes. Superman doesn't fit that mold.
I would argue he's
not as versatile a character as that. That's basically what you're arguing.
I mean, I have to think about that, but maybe I am. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's possible that I am.
Yeah, you're just well. It's
I don't even know that that's a bad thing necessarily.
I don't want to see a gritty SpongeBob either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not all characters. Not that Superman is like SpongeBob, but you.
I get your.
Not all characters are designed to be like that.
Yeah. And I will say, like, there can be.
I don't want to see a gritty Dick Van Dyke show. You know?
Right. Like, right. Oh, God.
I actually do kind of want to see
now that you mention it, I kind of do. Well, here's, I mean, what I'm, you can do a gritty Superman story if it's, you know, Doomsday.
If it's
the Death of Superman, that's a very gritty story. That's a very dark, you know, I mean, he dies for God's sake and he doesn't come back for a year and there's four imposters pretending to be him and there's clones and there's all this, you know, there's the Newsboy Legion and everything. There's all this like crazy, wacky stuff.
Newsboy Legion, definitely gritty.
Well, you know what
definitely
I mean.
Gritty.
It's campy, but do you, I mean, like there's all this underworld and all that stuff.
Right.
He can be versatile in that sense, but I don't think that the kind of, I'm trying to shy away from the words that everyone else has used to describe Man of Steel.
We use the word gritty like a gazillion
times
already. So.
But people have said that Man of Steel is joyless and that it is kind of devoid of hope, which is ironic because the S stands for hope. But do you know what I'm saying? Like people have said
H stands for hope, stupid.
Bad man.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you understand what? Do you understand?
Yeah,
what I'm
no, I, to-
with that?
I totally get what you're saying.
So I just don't know that the kind of story that they've wanted to tell fits the character.
Okay, so, but what I've heard so far from an objectivist standpoint,
please
on the line, I basically agree with you.
Okay,
I think the movie's maybe a little too dark for that character.
Man of Steel, you're talking
Man
about.
Man of Steel,
okay,
yeah.
We obviously haven't seen.
We haven't seen Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice.
Right.
We have not seen that film yet. The title is just as long as the film.
BVSDOJ. No, that's not any better.
Nope. That's not.
Doesn't help.
Nope. Not at all.
Doesn't help.
Lost my train of thought.
Because it was more powerful.
Thank you. Yes. It was the same joke.
Punching the air.
Yeah. Okay, well, you said that Superman can be gritty given something like Doomsday.
Yeah. Fine. Under the right circumstances. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Why is Zod not – why can't you have a gritty storyline with Zod? Because you've already seen Zod in a less gritty Superman film?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't even say you can't have him be gritty with Zod. I would say that some of the choices they made are not choices I agree with.
Okay. What are those choices specifically?
I don't agree. So specifically as it pertains to Zod, I don't agree with him snapping his neck. I don't. And
specific for people who – spoilers for people who haven't seen
– well, 2013 Man of Steel. Movie. Like you,
right. Yeah. No. I just to clarify. But yeah. Just
yeah.
to clarify.
Yeah. I don't agree
Superman
with him snapping his
neck. Zod's neck. I agree with you.
I don't think he should have snapped his neck. And I also think that – if he were to snap his neck, which I don't think they should have done in the first place, but if I was going to forgive that, there would need to be a lot more leading up to it to make it feel earned and
maybe
make it feel
the
like
the death of thousands of people.
Well, that's just it, is that I don't feel like he did. So he snapped Zod's neck to stop him from killing that family, right? Zod is using his heat vision,
right,
and he's going to like fry this family, the parents and the kids.
Right.
And so Superman snaps his neck to stop him from killing the family. That's like the first time really that he tries to avert, like that he successfully is able to avert Zod from like killing thousands of people. Throughout the previous like 45 minute battle that happens, they're like in the middle of Metropolis. They're flying through buildings. Superman is even driving him through buildings. And I understand that he's thinking like, if I drive him through this building, this will stop him or whatever. But he doesn't do enough of – like it would have felt more earned to me if he had done everything he could to like guide the battle away and everything. And then in the end, his only choice is like I've done all this to try to prevent him from killing people and I've tried to minimize the damage as much as I can. And now I'm at this moment where he's about to kill these people and the only thing I can see in front of me is to snap his neck and end this now.
Okay.
And I don't see that – I don't think that snapping his neck was the only option.
I have – to play devil's advocate, I have a couple of different
– okay.
I have a couple of arguments to that whole
thing. I like this, by the way. I like that we're like
– on different sides. It's yeah. just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Okay, the
yeah.
end of conversation.
Yeah, normally we like agree on this stuff. And even though you're saying you agree with a lot of – some of the points I'm making,
yeah.
I like that we're on different sides of this.
I think I spent so long trying to make this movie – to like this movie more than I said. To clarify, I left this movie liking it.
Okay.
I walked out of the theater going, I enjoyed that. That was a good movie. Maybe not the happiest film I've ever seen in my whole
Definitely
life.
Not.
But you know what? Seen a lot worse too. So
well, yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And for
so,
sure.
Right. So anyway, we talked about this before and I said go back and watch Man of Steel because the majority of the people that have died in Metropolis are because of Zod, not Superman.
Yes.
Because of the gravity machine-y thingy.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
With you
so
on that.
When we saw that.
World
that's
Engine,
true.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Right. That's what it's called. Thanks.
Yeah.
So we're good on that.
Yeah.
If you watch – now, again, if you watch the fight between the two of them, the big argument is like Superman doesn't try to save anybody. Right. There's nobody in Superman's way. There's nobody around them to actually save when it's just the two of them fighting. There's literally no one around them. Now,
I'm not even finished.
Your mouth was opening.
I was not going to interrupt.
Okay, so
I'm forming my thoughts.
Okay, so there's like he gets hit up the building or whatever. He's only on the facade of the building. He never goes into it. Then they fight in a pre-constructed building. There's nobody around them. And then he punches somebody through a skyscraper that has been evacuated. There's nobody in that office. It's an office building. Remember, because that's the whole heat vision, like, fly up through the, I will stop you.
Yeah.
You know, that
whole
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nobody in that building. Nobody's running around them trying to escape. They're gone. They have been evacuated, arguably because of the world engine. All those people are gone. They're empty buildings. Now, is the property damage, like, in the millions, if not billions of dollars? Yeah, absolutely. But watch every frickin' superhero movie ever, and the property damage is in the millions, if not trillions, if not quadrillions of dollars. I mean, when the Avengers took out the Chitauri, nobody batted an eye about that property damage. And arguably, there was a lot more. Like, that was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what saved them is that you do see it. You do have moments of maybe Captain America saving a bunch of people or something like But that's because there are aliens directly attacking those people, and Zod is not directly attacking people until that moment in the train station. There's nobody. There's no. They're not actually in danger of hitting anybody until that moment. And now, it took me a long time to figure that out, mind you. Mm-hmm. But careful analysis has led me to believe that he knew what he was doing. Question mark, maybe.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if I buy that. I don't know that I buy that. Like, the buildings were all evacuated, and this is a clean, like, you know, when that building comes down and Perry and
okay, well, but
Jenny,
that's the world engine.
But I didn't see Superman try to save anybody.
That's because he was fighting the other world engine.
But when he is in Metropolis, when he's on the other side of the planet, when he is in Smallville and when he's in Metropolis, I don't expect him to, like, you know, stop what he's like, you know, obviously he has to fight Zod, but I feel like there should have been moments of him showing him trying to save people more than he was. Like,
yeah,
I he didn't rescue anybody. He didn't like Captain America, that, you know, good example. Or there's like the waitress that he saves, right? And
right.
She's like, at the end of the movie, mm-hmm. She's like on TV.
Captain America saved my life. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Moments like that, I feel like we're lacking. And I feel like it's because they just wanted it to be like
a slugfest.
Yeah. Like, they just wanted a Transformers movie for the last 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's examine that for a couple of seconds. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. Because the argument for previous films was that Superman didn't punch anybody.
Right. Superman Returns, he really didn't.
Literally didn't punch a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, studio note, we got to punch some stuff. Okay.
You guys want fighting? You're going to get some fighting.
Here's some fighting.
Yeah.
And then we got fighting. And everyone was like, that's too much fighting.
Yeah.
Go back when he was stalking Lois and had a kid that wasn't his. That's the Superman we know.
God.
Yeah, right? So can't please anybody these days. So,
yeah.
So, like, I get all that. But it also comes down to where you as a – as comic book fans of, you know, for decades at this point, we are used to a fully formed Superman knowing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All the stuff. Even Christopher Reeve flew out of the Fortress of Solitude and immediately, like,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
I've been doing
that's
this
true.
For 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
There's no, like, there was no wary period. But that they said, even when this movie was being made, that, like, he's learning how to do this still.
Right.
You know, it's not like if he heard some people. I think the argument is that, like, maybe that in this universe, Superman wouldn't have saved those people. It's just that the script didn't have any people for him to save, and thus feels like a less formed Superman than we wanted. So the problem isn't actually with the Superman of that screen. It's not with Henry Cavill, who didn't save anybody or whatever. It's with the script that didn't write anybody for him to save into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
That's good news. Okay, that's fine.
I mean, Henry Cavill doesn't do anything I'm not blaming him.
Yeah, no, he just goes off script.
It was also Brandon Routh's fault.
There are people over there. I have to go save them or something.
It's also Brandon Routh's fault he didn't punch anybody.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
He punched plenty of people on Arrow now. He's made up for it.
And on the set of Superman, he went on a rampage.
He was just punching
everybody.
Kevin Spacey over and
that's
over
why he
again
doesn't work
face.
With Bryan Singer anymore. Little known
right.
fact.
Yeah. Punched him in the face.
Yep. In the face.
Yep. He was going to be the new Wolverine. Not
but
anymore.
Nope. Hugh Jackman was like,
I ain't about
Brian,
that.
Brian, no. He punched you in the face.
Yeah.
Not really.
He was like, oh, good day. He punched you in the face.
Right. He said good day.
I'm Hugh Jackman. Jackman, man. Yeah.
Why is his Ackman so huge? Anyway,
no.
That's really my gripe, is that they didn't. I don't feel like the writing of the movie reflected a Superman that I.
Great. Okay, then I'm going to go on a little thing.
Great.
The Batman of Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Also, does not save anybody.
Yeah.
He punches a bunch of civilians.
Yeah.
That, you know, are infected with this gas or whatever, and then he kills Ra's al Ghul. I don't have to save you.
Right.
Doesn't mean that I didn't commit murder in the first degree. Like,
yeah.
It's the same. It's the same writer. Yes.
That's true.
David Goyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who certainly understands these characters to an extent, has his moments and all these things, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's the same argument. Okay, but going back with the killing of the thing.
Yes.
We've seen Superman kill before. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who argues that we haven't. And I know you're not going to argue
I'm
this.
I'm not. Yeah,
yeah. So, like, in Man of Steel, he snaps Zod's neck because he's Zod is going to kill this family that's in front of him. Arguably the only family that needs Superman to save them at that moment because that's what the script dictates. Because mm-hmm. everybody else had escaped. Apparently, but there's nobody around. So you have to like, I'm assuming to believe the better version of it, because if I assume the building is emptied, that makes Superman a better person.
Right.
It makes the movie better.
Okay.
Therefore a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I look at it in a better light. I'm not being negative about it and life is better.
Okay.
Oh, blah, dee, oh, blah. And so, but in Superman 2, he tricks Zod with the
that chamber, the red kryptonite chamber thing.
Thingy and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And oh, yeah, no. And then he freaking pushes him down a huge thing where he obviously dies. So he doesn't even have a chance to defend himself at that point. Like, Superman could have done a lot of things. And he did kill Zod. There's no question. He and Lois kills Ursa. Like, you got a double dose in there.
That's true. I guess that's true. You know, I have to be honest. Like I think about that, and I'm wondering if that's like what the intent was. Like, is the intent that they killed them, or is the intent that they're somehow imprisoned or trapped? Or I don't know.
But you're
I assume you're right. I assume you're right.
But your like wonderment of that is the same wonderment of like, were these buildings empty or were they not or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I'm having the same thought. Yeah, it's like it's unclear.
It is your discretion to believe whether if you think he killed them or didn't, and that's that. And arguably, based on those two I Fought Zod movies, Man of Steel's is actually – he turns out to be the better of the Supermen because Zod could have gone to regular prison or something because he was depowered. Literally could have just put him like trapped in a rope. And
so, okay, so you're saying he was depowered in Superman 2, so he could have just, like, flown him to the police station, like in a 40s like cartoon, and just been like...
Or in Superman 1, when he flew Lex Luthor to the police station.
But...
Or to the jail. He went directly to jail.
But yeah. I think you...
He did not collect $200.
Do not pass go. But I don't think... So you're saying he's clearly the better of the two Supermen. I don't know if I agree. I understand what you're saying. Like,
you know what I mean.
If he depowered him and then killed him, like, that's not.
But you know what I mean.
Well, but I'm also saying that Christopher Reeve also shouted in the middle of the streets, "Wait, the people!"
He didn't save any of them, though. He just said, "The people."
But he had concern for them that I don't think this Superman really...
But there were no people around for him to yell. No,
there were.
The people. Actually, no, that's not true. No, there weren't, though.
Okay, but they evacuate the buildings. They're still around. They're still on the streets. They're still
and
around.
They're fighting in the sky.
But there's debris falling everywhere, and there's definitely thousands of casualties, like,
again,
a minute.
Again, happens in... Every superhero thing
doesn't make it
ever.
Okay for a Superman movie.
So you're holding.
So I'm saying that it's
Superman
fine
to
for
a higher standard of
yes.
than every other superhero to ever exist.
Isn't that the point of Superman?
Yes, but then there's no conflict.
I disagree with that. I disagree. I've always rejected that argument. I have always rejected that argument. I don't think that just because you're holding him to a higher standard, there can't be conflict.
No, well, okay.
In this scenario, there would be no conflict, but I'm saying I'd reject the scenario.
Right, that's,
I reject the scenario.
Okay.
I don't believe in a no-win scenario, just like James Tiberius Kirk.
Good. Well, you know what? Kirk is a cheater. So.
That's true. Listen, we only have a couple minutes left.
Do we really?
I know. This has been a really good conversation. This has been a really good conversation. I've really enjoyed it. You said you've been playing devil's advocate for like at least some of this.
Yeah.
Take off your devil's advocate hat for a second and give me your – oh, he actually took off his hat, ladies and gentlemen. Tell me about
– It was a Yankees hat.
Oh. In this house.
It wasn't.
In this house,
I wasn't actually
wearing
a hat.
We wear Yankees hats in my house.
I know. From New York. I know.
That's true. Tell me – not playing devil's advocate, your thoughts on – darkness in Superman in general, in this film, in what the implications are based on the teaser we've seen for Dawn of Justice. Tell me, what does Tim think? Not devil's advocate, Tim.
I
or Daredevil's advocate, if you will. Remember,
callback to an episode ago. Title.
Darkness and superheroes, honestly, not my favorite thing.
Okay.
Across the board.
Even Batman?
Across the board.
Okay.
Batman, I kind of hold in a little bit of a different category just because, well, I want to say one of my favorite Batman stories is Dark Knight Returns, which is,
of course, very dark.
It's extremely dark. It's gritty. It basically, Dark Knight Returns is the reason that we're having this conversation.
Yes, it is. It is.
It is basically the reason why this conversation exists.
Yes.
Yeah. For any superhero. Mm-hmm. And so, if you haven't read it, please read it.
Good. You're missing out if you haven't.
It's so good. Right. So I think there's a time and a place for all of those. But if I was to pick up my favorite books, my favorite superhero books, even my favorite television shows aren't really the darkest. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it sometimes. I don't want it all the time.
Yeah.
And when it comes to films, I think maybe that's where I'm a little bit weary with DC's direction, just because if they're all dark, I'm going to get – okay, I loved the Dark Knight trilogy. I do not regularly watch those films because they really bum me out. They're really – like there's nothing happy going on at any point in anybody's life. Alfred makes like 3 jokes in one joke a movie.
It's true.
That's all you get. And it's like after a while, it's like I'm done now.
Yeah.
Like I can't deal with that. But I can pop on something else and quite enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And that's my concern with dark anything. But I also – but sometimes the darkness is refreshing. Like you watch – you take Marvel's slate of movies and they've all got – you know, even the darkest of films, which I talked about, there's still like it's quite a bit of humor in all of them.
Oh yeah,
but then you watch, but then you throw on Daredevil, which is arguably nothing like the rest. Mm-hmm. It's got its humor for sure, but it's definitely in a different vein and style, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's great. But I don't want it. I'd rather have it that way than have them all dark and then you watch one movie. You watch like Shazam. That's going to be DC's film. That's like – that's the one movie where they make jokes. You know, like that's the thing. Just somebody smile. Somebody make a banter just to something. Just like a real life, you know.
Yeah.
Even people who are facing great adversity in their life, most of them can still make one joke a day.
Yeah. I know. I do think that they are going dark for the sake of being dark. I think you nailed it at the very beginning of this conversation where I think they think, okay, Marvel's doing that. We have to do something different. It didn't work when we tried it with Green Lantern, so we can't do that anymore.
That's really one of the only things Green Lantern had going for it.
It had the jokes. Yeah.
Green Lantern didn't work because its story was convoluted and messy, and its CG was terrible.
Yeah. Yep.
It was terrible.
It wasn't great. I mean, the CG was not great.
It had its moments, actually. It was really nice to look at.
It was an overstuffed movie, really.
For an origin story.
For an origin story,
yeah. It was.
Yeah. Usually they have the restraint to hold off to like the third movie before they start putting 17 villains in there. But this time they were Hector Hammond and Sinestro and this and that. And like,
Sinestro wasn't a bad guy in that film, though.
Not to the end, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, not perfect, but yeah. Like the mid-credits sting.
Yeah,
But even that, arguably, unless you know what direction that character's going in, it's not.
True. Yeah. But it was – you did have parallax.
Yeah, well, you had a cloud that was
–
That was supposed to be parallax.
Whatever. At least Hal didn't have the Widow's Peak thing going on.
Does he have a Widow's Peak in the comics?
Sure he does.
No, he doesn't.
Well, the gray things on the side, the – what do you call it? No, not a Widow's Peak. You're right.
The temples. The Reed Richards.
The Reed Richards Gray Temples, yes.
Okay.
You're right. Not a Widow's Peak.
Okay.
I was misusing the terminology. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, this was a rousing discussion.
It was.
I really enjoyed this little debate.
It was rousing.
This was good.
I roused so much I didn't even get to finish
my beer. The fire rouses.
Well done. Except that you sounded like Yoda and not like Bane.
The fire rouses.
Yeah.
I was born in it.
That's better.
Okay.
That's better. I'm going to stop you now, though. It's not one of your better impressions.
Where can the people find us?
The people can find us.
The people can find us.
That's better. There it is. That was better. There. You found a way to do it. Good job. People can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. They can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/beerwithgeeks or at beerwithgeeks, you know, as people usually talk about the Twitter.
Yeah, it's the same.
You can email us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. You can rate us on iTunes, Beer with Geeks. It's all good. You can find us on Stitcher Radio if you're not listening to us there already, or on the iTunes. All good such things. Post your comments, your concerns, your questions.
Your quibbles.
Your quibbles. That's a good word. Call it the quibbles.
Yeah.
The quibble. The quibble.
The trouble with quibbles?
No. Trouble, no, the quibbler is the Harry Potter newspaper.
Yeah. That's true.
Harry Potter.
Very okay. good. All right.
Well, anyway, until next time.
Till next time. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh no, the city's dead.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.